This is 91.1 WEDM, and you're listening to the Inside the Huddle podcast.
91.1 WEDM, and for this Inside the Huddle topic, I have lacrosse, and here with me today, I have Naila Taylor, and we're going to discuss lacrosse. So when preparing for a meet, what's the main thing that runs through your mind?
Main thing that runs through my mind is just staying focused and making sure, like, normally we all go get something to eat, come back, make sure the team is together on time, ready for the game, mindset ready. On the field, at the time we're supposed to be on the field, warming up, how we supposed to warm up.
Like, so take us through your daily game day process from waking up till game time.
Waking up, I make sure I have all my stuff, my jersey, my cleats, my stick, the right stick, my goggles, my mouth guard, all of that. Come to school. Go through the whole school day, weights class, go light in weights class. Then it's the end of the day, go grab some light to eat with the team, come back, get dressed, watch a JV, warm up, and play.
So what's your motive? Like, because everybody has a motivation, and while they play their certain sport that they do. So what's your motive?
My motive, I just want to stay active in general, like throughout school, period. I've always been an athletic person, played sports elementary to high school. I plan on playing lacrosse in college too.
Well, how long have you been playing lacrosse?
This is my third year. I've been playing since freshman year.
What made you want to play?
Well, I played soccer first in the fall, and the whole soccer team, we have the same coach for soccer and lacrosse. So they were like, oh, you should come join lacrosse because I'm a freshman. I don't know nobody. So it's like after soccer season, we all became like a family. So we all went from soccer to lacrosse, and we just played together, and I just stayed with that same group since then.
So basically to build team chemistry.
Yeah, our team chemistry is real strong. We just like a family, a real close family.
So like tell us about the conditioning on the off season when it comes to lacrosse, because lacrosse is somewhat a popular sport in the United States.
Yeah, well, at first, since we had our lacrosse coach is our soccer coach, so we had soccer season in the fall. So lacrosse conditioning wouldn't start till like November. But this year, he's not our soccer coach anymore. So conditioning started in September. So we've been conditioning from September up until now. And regular season starts February 4th. So then practice is going to be Monday through Friday over at 5, indoor and outside.
So tell us about the weight room aspect of the conditioning part.
The weight room aspect, we do everything. We focus on arms, legs, because it's important to be strong, be fast. We work on footwork because it's a lot of swerving when you're running on the field. We do a lot of stuff with our arms because the stronger you are, the easier it is to throw the ball down the field.
So what's your goals and expectations for this season, individually and team-wise?
Individually, I want to get better because I started off, well, freshman year, I don't think I was that good, but sophomore year, I improved a lot. I got a plaque for most improved. And this year, I just plan on getting better and hopefully be captain next year. And as a team, we just need to work together, listen to each other, not yell at each other. We normally do pretty good at just helping each other. And like outside of the coach talking to us on halftime or something, we'll just pull each other to the side, telling what we need to fix, what we see from the field, because, you know, we on the field, the coach is not on the field, they can't really see what's going on. So
what's your take on losing a lot of key players from last year?
Well, we still got a lot of key players this year too, but we just gotta... Well, a lot of the old players that we had last year, they're just going to have to fill the players that we lost. We're going to have to fill their shoes and teach the incoming players. We want a lot of freshmen to come in, and we just want them to be as good as they can be, even when this group of seniors leaves and so on and so forth.
So your freshman year, you guys got put out in semi-state. Are we looking for somewhat of the result this year without being knocked out?
Well, yeah, we just gotta work hard and focus and not be so worried about who, like, people are probably most worried about the Carmel game, and that's probably the only game they're going to be focused on, but we just got to worry about all the games and not worry about them until they get here.
So when is the first game?
First game is, well, the scrimmage is March 6th. The first game is March 12th. And we have a lot of home games. There's only 5 away games. Season is pretty short this year.
Alrighty, well, that does it for this week's Inside the Podcast with Nyla Taylor. You're tuned in to 91.1 WEDM.
91.1 WEDM. This is an Inside the Huddle interview. It's me, Isaiah, here with one of the members from the Lady Warriors basketball team. We have Trini McClendon in the studio with us today.
Hi.
And we're going to be asking her a few questions as they prepare to take on North Central starting their sectional tonight. So my first question is, how are you?
I'm doing great.
So can you give me a quick recap of your season? How do you feel like you guys perform?
This is the best season we ever had. I'm a senior. So freshman year was rough. Sophomore year got a little better. Junior year, it was better. But this is the best season. We only lost 2 games. We're undefeated in the MIC. We're the MIC champs. So our season wasn't bad, but it was good. Could it be better? Everything can always be better. We can always improve in everything that we do.
So, as I say, you guys prepare for your sectionals against North Central. What is the team preparation like?
We know that going into the game, it will be a very hard game. North Central is a very good team. They have a very smart coach. It'll be an intense game. All you have to do is capitalize, stay tuned in, and police ourselves and make sure we're doing what we are supposed to be doing to prepare for this game because it is business.
And you guys just played them, I want to say, a week ago for the MIC, you know, the MIC title. Mm-hmm. So what's it like going against the same team on such short term?
I mean, that is weird, really, honestly, playing the same team again. But it's luck of the draw. But I know the second game is going to be much harder because I know they're going to tighten up on things that they notice about our game and things they can change to become better. And they'll have more experience playing us, so they'll know more and what to do and how to win. So all we have to do is come up prepared with the mindset and knowing North Central is a good team and just make sure we execute and stay consistent on what we're doing.
How do you feel like everyone on the team is focused right now?
Everyone's focused on the team mainly is beating North Central. We all want to beat them. We all want to go on to the next step. We do not want to go out, get out the tournament.
So last year you guys were able to advance to the state finals and eventually win in the state finals. So for you to go back-to-back and you were junior last year, do you feel like it's any pressure for the team right now knowing this could be your last possible game as a high school basketball player?
There definitely is pressure. I am nervous, but I'm ready to play. I've worked so much. I injured my back last year. I had a stress fracture, so I didn't get to play as much, but I did help. I did get to play, and I did contribute in the state game, and I just want to really play with my team, play the best, play together, and enjoy it, and just go all out because it's my senior year, and I hope the Lord blesses us to continue on and just keep playing, but I'm just thankful for me even being here, honestly.
And Sydney and Shayla were nominated for being the McDonald's All-Americans. What is it like playing on the team with them for the last 4 years of your high school career?
It's been fun. We had our roughs up and downs, hard times, but they're really good teammates. I know they really care. They play hard, practice hard. They really make me want to be better. They're really the whole reason why I got into this sport. Cause honestly, I didn't even really, at first take basketball serious until like 6th and 7th grade. And ever since then I've been playing with them and it's just great. Cause they really worked for that title, and I think they deserve it, and it's been an honor. I enjoy playing with them.
So you speaking as a senior on behalf of all the seniors on the team, how important is it for you guys to, make the best out of this tournament?
It is very important to us. We're all very competitive. We want to win. I know it's going to be hard, but I really believe that we can win. We just have to push. I know it's very important. We love the game. Yeah, and I know we're ready, but it's going to be hard, but we got this.
Do you have any words of advice for your younger teammates going into the tournament time?
The advice I can give is just stay tuned in and be positive and just focus on what you're doing and take it serious and just believe.
And is there any, like, valuable points you took from last year's tournament time until this year?
I really noticed how people really, really do look down on, like, the East Side and look down on us because, you know, of where we're from and what high school we go to. But really a point that I realized is that it really doesn't matter what part of the state, anything, or where you come from, anybody can win. There can be any type of upset. Anybody is capable of winning. You just have to have the mindset because, again, nobody thought we were going to win, honestly. It took us to believe in a community around us, and that's what really got us to this point.
Is there any plans for after college or before college, going to college, I should say?
I do plan to play college basketball. I've got accepted in a few schools. I have a couple offers, and I'm hoping to get more by the end of the, you know, end of the ride.
I know the college recruiting process could be stressful for some players, especially during season. So how do you manage to handle that process and continue to play at a high level?
Well, I know that I want to win, firstly, and I know I love my teammates, so I know that's more important. So, I mean, getting recruited is important, but I do really want to win. I want to make an impact on this school. I was grateful enough and to already have, but I want to make another one, a bigger one. So, yeah, it is very stressful, but I feel like the Lord got.
And then we're going to get back into tonight's game. So what is the process, you know, after all, everyone's left the school, you guys are the only ones here, you know, preparing for the game. What is the process like?
We basically come in there. What else? We eat, and then we shoot around, go over plays, and we go over just small things that matter in the game, and our coach reminds us of what we should be doing and how we should execute things and making sure we tune in and just pay attention to everything because all of it's important.
Is there a score, you know, that you have in mind that you try to shoot for tonight?
I'm not going to predict anything because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to come off anyway, but, you know, pray it's the score I want.
Is there any shout out to anybody, teammates or coaches or anyone?
Shout out to my teammates. Basically, I'm not going to name the whole roster.
All right, thank you, Trinity, for coming in and having this interview.
Thank you.
Make sure you guys tune in tonight because the Lady Warriors will be taking on the North Central Panthers in the first round of sectionals. Stay tuned for another episode of Inside the Huddle here on 91.1 W.
This is 91.1 WEDM, and it's Ty back here on Inside the Huddle, and I'm here with Jocelyn. Jocelyn, what sport do you play?
I play softball.
And what is softball to you?
Softball for me is, it's a sport, obviously, but it's a way to pass time, and it's kind of a hobby I've been playing for a while.
How long have you been playing for?
At least 8 years.
Oh, so do you see yourself playing it in college, though?
I hope to play in college, yes.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about the team, because it's off season. I know you guys have been conditioning and getting ready for this upcoming season. Reflecting on last season, what do you guys think you guys can do better with?
Well, one of the main things that we can do better is to, like, work better as a team, because last season was a lot of drama, gossip type, you know, bickering type girls.
Like, team chemistry.
Yes, we just work better together.
And so, do you feel that all players on the team are treated fairly and held to the same expectations?
Truthfully, no, because there's older girls and people that have, like, grown closer to the coaches, I guess, and they put all their attention on someone else.
And so how do you think that favoritism affects the overall of the team when it comes to games?
Favoritism is, like, the death of a good team chemistry. Like, once, like, other players notice that a coach favors one player over the other, it's like they're not even good enough and they're not going to try as hard.
And so what things could the coaches do differently to help improve the team chemistry for this upcoming season?
Well, our coaches could maybe hold more practices in, like, instead of competing, like, we're actually all trying to reach a common goal, which we compete a lot, which I know in games we're going to be competing against other teams. We need to have, like, that grit. But if we work better together, that's, like, the solution to everything.
So, besides the team chemistry, how about the, you know, catching ground balls,
stealing bases. How do you think that's going for you guys so far?
I think we're pretty good on that. That was actually one of our highlights of last season.
You steal any bases?
Yes.
How many you steal?
I'm not sure. At least three. At least.
Okay, and what position do you play?
Well, I play like the outfield, any place in outfield, and third base.
Third base. So for the outfielders, do you guys think you guys can improve on something that you guys was lacking last season?
Well, the outfielders, well, I feel like we work harder than the infielders because people sometimes forget that we're like out there because we run more. But one of the things I think is mainly speed and just hustle, like to get to the ball.
Do you feel like you're learning what you need to be the best player on the field?
Yes and no. Yes, along the lines of like technical skills and doing the drills that we do like every practice. And no, along the lines of we're not like really advancing. It's kind of like we're just keeping the same level as we did last season.
So there hasn't been any more intensity on drills or practices that you guys have?
Not really. We mainly just do like the same drills and we perfect our abilities at those drills.
Do you feel value as a player on your team?
Yes and no again, because, you know, favoritism. So, but yeah, I feel valued. I feel like a good team player.
So all around, if you can reflect on last season, what would be one of the games you wish you guys would have won, that you guys should have won, but didn't?
I'd say the one against Ben Davis, because that was just embarrassing. It was like kind of a little bit of a blowout. Our varsity and our JV lost. And it made me so mad because Ben Davis is supposed to be our rivals. And everybody kind of just gave up.
Hey, so what happened that game? Can you explain to me what happened?
Well, we started off pretty great. We were up. And then one girl comes up. She just hits it out the park. All their girls on base ran home. And then they started. They were up. And then they ran with it. And we kind of just let it. We just let it have them.
And so reflecting back on that game, do you guys think there's anything you guys could have done differently to prevent that?
To prevent it, I think that game was mainly attitudes. Some girls, they'll already come into the game saying, oh, we're not going to win. We're not going to do this right. I'm going to mess up. And they had all that stuff on their mind. And then it reflected in how they played.
And so this coming season, is this right around the corner? When are tryouts, actually?
Tryouts are in March, I believe.
March. And so this coming season, who are you looking forward to facing again?
Great question. I don't know, actually. I just want to get out there and play and show the other teams that we're in Central Softball, we're a force to be reckoned with, and that we're up there, we're getting better.
All right, that's all the questions I have for you. Thank you.
91.1 WEDM, welcome to a special episode of Inside the Huddle. I'm Colin Echols, and I will be flying solo for talking about the 2019 MLB Hall of Fame inductees. So, obviously, to start off, congratulations are in order for Mr. Roy Halladay, Edgar Martinez, Mike Mussina, and Mariano Rivera. Four absolutely outstanding players that have been inducted into the Hall of Fame this year. Let's start off, Roy Halladay. I mean, what an amazing pitcher. Batted right through, right? Drafted by the Toronto Blue Jays in the first round, 17th overall in 1995, had an outstanding career. Overall, 203-105 was his record. I mean, that is an absolutely phenomenal record. I mean, you really can't get that much, I mean, better than that, period. You look at what he did, pitched 416 games, saved 390. For those of you that don't know a lot about baseball, 390 games saved, and you pitched 416 games. 26 of those games, you didn't save a game, right? For you to save 390 games, that means coming at the end and bring the team back. For you to do that in 390 games and win, absolutely phenomenal. I mean, you can't get any better than that in terms of being able to come out and pitch. You know, inducted into the Hall of Fame this year, obviously, two-time Cy Young Award winner, and an 8-time All-Star. I mean, Roy Halladay, for the longest time, was, I mean, phenomenal. He debuted September 20th, 1998, and pitched 5 innings, gave up 8 hits, and 2 earned runs in that game. For first game, that is phenomenal. I mean, you can't get, like I said, any better than that. And then his rookie status, he actually exceeded the rookie limits during the 1999 season, which is when he was able to debut. So, I mean, yeah, exceeding rookie limits, that's big for a guy to come in, get drafted in 95, set the bench for almost 4 years before he was able to debut, but was still able to come in and make a phenomenal career for himself. Moved to Edgar Martinez, I mean, third baseman and DH. I mean, wow. Threw right, batted right. Drafted to the Mariners in 87. That was his debut. One at bat, no hits, no runs. I mean, so struck out his only at bat. I mean, not the greatest way to start off, but everyone has to come from somewhere. That was against the Texas Rangers. And he also exceeded the rookie limits during his 89 season. So you look at him, awesome, awesome stats for him. And you look at his career stats, 7,213 at-bats, 2,247 hits. Now, again, those of you that don't know a lot about baseball or don't understand it, that's really, really good. A lifetime batting average of .312. Absolutely phenomenal. I mean, hitting over a third of your pitches a third of the at-bats, getting up and hitting the ball, putting it in play. Absolutely phenomenal. Brought in 1,219 runs on his own and batted in 1,261 runs. So over 2,400, almost 2,500 runs for the Seattle Mariners were brought in by Edgar Martinez. I mean, he has got to be one of the best sluggers to ever come out of the league. I mean, he's just so, so good. 309 home runs, too. I mean, that just shows the type of power he had. I mean, he's known for his picture of the hot bats. Set 3 bats on fire, put them over his shoulder, and took the picture. I mean, that's how you know you've got a hot hitter. And then his Hall of Fame induction, 7-time All-Star, 5-time Silver Slugger, and a 2-time batting title champion. I mean, that is nothing to be argued with. Then you move on. Mike Mussina, drafted by the Baltimore Orioles, 11th round, 1987, in the amateur draft, right? And then he was drafted again by the Orioles in the first round of the 1990 June draft from Stanford University. So he was drafted out of high school, deferred, went to college, and then obviously at Stanford, and then was drafted again in a 10 rounds higher than he was originally. Debuted August 4th, 1991, the age of 22 versus the Chicago White Sox. Pitched 7 innings, gave up 4 hits, and 1 earned run. But they still ended up losing the game. So, yeah, not good for him. Not a good way to start off, but obviously made a career of it. His last game was September 28th, 2008 versus the Red Sox. Pitched 6 innings, gave up 3 hits, and no earned runs, and walked away with a W. I mean, rookie stats also exceeded the rookie limits. So he was extremely phenomenal as well. You look at his career stats, 270 wins, 153 losses with a 3.68 ERA. So his ERA per game, almost 4 runs per game, which honestly, I mean, not much better than that. Pitched 537 games, and his game saved 536. One game, he didn't save. Pitched 3,562 innings. I mean, he was the definition of what you wanted in a pitcher for his time. Mike Mussina, I mean, he was phenomenal. He was the guy I mean, everybody feared Mike Mussina. 5-time All-Star, 7-time Gold Glove. I mean, just everything you could want in a pitcher, Mike Mussina was. And then you move on to who I feel was the best Hall of Fame inductee. And this is coming from a Red Sox fan. Excuse me. I'm a big Red Sox fan. But the most deserving, in my opinion, Hall of Fame inductee, Mariano Rivera, the pitcher for the New York Yankees. I mean, he was awesome. Debuted May 23rd, 1995 at the age of 25. 3 innings pitched, 8 hits, 5 earned runs, and lost. So, I mean, he wasn't able to get it going. His last game was September 26th, 2013. Pitched 1 inning, no hits, no earned runs. I mean, he was also exceeding the rookie limits in 1995. He was, you look at his stats, 82 wins, 60 losses. So he didn't pitch as much, but the games that he did pitch were clutch. 2.21 ERA, only giving up around 2 runs a game. Not many pitchers can do that. Pitched 1,115 games, saved 10. Pitched 1,283 innings. He is the definition of what everyone wants in a pitcher. I mean, he was phenomenal. 13-time All-Star. 5 trips to the World Series. He was a World Series MVP. An ALCS MVP. 5-time Rule Aids relief player. And also an AS MVP. Played with one team for the entire career. Absolutely a phenomenal player. All 4 of these guys, man. You put all 4 of them on a team, all these arms on a team, and Edgar Martinez at bat, unstoppable team. I mean, this is just phenomenal. So, for these 4, welcome to Cooperstown. You are all in the Hall of Fame now. I mean, this is big. This is a big deal. These 4, once again, Edgar Martinez, Mike Mussina, Roy Halladay, and Mariano Rivera, the big 4 were elected into the Hall of Fame this year. This does it for me on this episode of Inside the Huddle. We got more coming up for you in just a few moments, so make sure you stay tuned in. You've been listening to the Hall of Fame MLB induction part of the podcast here on Inside the Huddle on 91.1. WEDM.
Thank you for listening to this week's edition of our podcast, Inside the Huddle. You can find more episodes on iTunes or on our website, wedmfm.com.